Wonderful. Well, we've been exploring Ephesians together over these last weeks, and it's been wonderful to do it together. If you need a church Bible, then, well, you can wave, and if there are any spare, well, you can have my one, because it looks like there's not too many spare at the back. But we're looking at Ephesians, and we're into Ephesians chapter 5 now. And I'm just opening this so I can tell you which page it is. We're on page 1176. 1176. Well, let's read this together. You know, the most important part of our morning is reading this together. So this morning we're going to read it twice. Once just flowing through, and then the second time we'll read it in a few sections. So let's read from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, if we came and we just read that together, what a wonderful morning we've had. But we're going to read it again. And we're going to read it again slowly and think about it as we read together. Now, for those of you who are dropping in, we're in the middle, as we've said, of a series through Ephesians. And last week we spoke about how the start of Ephesians is about how Christ is seated and how we are seated with him. It's about how God has done all the work. If you thought that Christianity was about sorting your life out with your power, well, you got it wrong way up. It's about how Jesus has done everything, has seated himself as the conquering king, and how if you call on his name, he sits you with him too. And the first chapters have been glorious as we've found out that we're seated with Jesus. It begins with how we sit with Jesus. But now this second part is about how we relate to each other as family and those who don't know Jesus yet. We walk together, and it's about our walk with each other. And then the last, shorter part is about how we stand, how in relation to the enemy, that is the devil and his demons and those spiritual powers, we'll think about it later on in this series. With relation to him, we stand. So that's the structure of this little book. And we were hearing last week just a little bit of the testimony of Watchman Nee, who wrote that book called Sit, Walk, Stand. And you can listen back to last week if you want to. But as we look at this structure, Sit, Walk, Stand, this week, we're in the section again about walking, about how we live with each other, how we relate to each other. Now, what we found out last week was very important for what we're continuing to think about this week. Because last week we were hearing that we can't just change our behavior by our own power. We're just not strong enough. We can start to change things a little bit, but if we really want complete transformation, we need something deeper. And really, it begins with our hearts. And we were reading last week how God can change our hearts, turn them around, bring them alive as he fills us with Jesus. And then as our hearts are changed, well, our minds, our thinking is changed. And now, as minds that are being renewed, as we were reading last week, now our actions can change. So if you're coming here, dropping in into the middle of this series, and you're thinking, I can't live like that. I've tried. I can't sort my life out with my own power. I've been trying for all these years. How do these people do it? Well, this is the heart of it all. It's about your heart. And it's about how, well, we're separated from God, we were realizing last week. But through Jesus, he brings us close and he changes our heart, brings a heart transformation that transforms our minds, that then means that we can live different. But we don't say now, as people calling on Jesus and trusting Jesus, well, I don't have the power yet, so I'm not going to do anything different. No. With courage and boldness, we determine to live different lives. But now we're calling on God's power to live those different lives. God wants to change the way that we live, our actions to be different. And he does that as he changes our hearts and changes our minds. So with that background, we now drop in to this section, Ephesians 5, verses 3 to 20. And we've divided it up into three bits. Idols and lies is the first bit. Light and life is the second bit. And the third bit, filled and singing. That's where we're going. And so idols and lies, well, that runs from verse 3 to 7 in chapter 5. And then the next part, light and life, runs from verse 8 through to verse 14. And then the last bit, filled and singing, runs from verse 15 to verse 20. So that's where we're going together. Idols and lies, then, as we read this first section again together. Now, this is saying to us how we need to get rid of things from our behavior, from our lives, from our story. And it's really clear what it is saying. There's nothing ambiguous here. The first thing, and I've highlighted it on the screen, as is this, in verse 3, among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Now, this is a radical thing to be saying today. The Bible is very beautiful and simple and clear. It is saying, look, a man is made for a woman and a woman is made for a man. And because we've been created male and female, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife. He's talking about a sexual relationship as well as all the other layers of beautiful relationship at the heart of a marriage relationship. And in our culture that is pretty confused on this or feels that actually it's got it absolutely right but says complete opposite, these are radical things to be saying. But it's very simple, very clear that the sexual relationship is a beautiful gift and it is for using between a man and a woman in the context of a lifelong relationship of marriage. So we pray for those who are married, and we pray for those who are single, and we want to get rid of any other kinds of behaviors, sexual behaviors, apart from these. We're going to come back and think about that again a little more. But not even a hint of it should be among us. And then it says there shouldn't even be a hint of impurity among us. There shouldn't be a hint of impurity among us. There shouldn't be a hint of greed among us. Isn't it interesting that those three things are put in the same list? Some of us would say, oh, look, this is really bad. This isn't so bad. Greed, maybe that's all right. But that one, oh, no, that's... But in this passage, the Holy Spirit puts them together. He speaks about sexual immorality, impurity, and greed. And he says there in verse 4 that these are improper for God's holy people. End of verse 3. End of verse 3. They are improper for God's holy people. It's just not right that they should be there. Holy means set apart. It doesn't mean people who think they're great. It means people who aren't connected with sinfulness, wrongness. And God is not connected with wrongness. We want to be connected with him. And so we set those things out of our lives. They're just not right for God's people. And then the list continues. Obscenity. We shouldn't have that in our lives. Foolish talk. We don't want that to be part of our conversation. Or coarse joking. We want all of those to be out of our lives. Those are listed there in verse 4. And then he says, these are out of place. Out of place. They just don't fit. Some of you have been doing a art GCSE. And I love kind of looking in on what Lucas is doing. And he's working on some art GCSE project about things being out of place. It's when you look at something and it looks okay and then you realize it's all wrong. It just groinches on you. It grinds on. It's wrong. And well, here's some of artwork that's been produced. It's about out of place. Oh, I recognize that's a shoehorn. And then you look closely. Oh, it's got the cheese grater on the shoehorn. It's out of place. It's painful. If you were to use that, it's all wrong. Or how about this door handle? You want to reach out. Oh, no, don't touch that. It's out of place. And Paul is saying, look, this kind of stuff in our lives is out of place. We don't want to have it there. It's wrong. It's going to bring pain and brokenness if we have this in our lives. Instead, our lives should be marked with thanksgiving. That's at the end of verse 4. That's what there should be instead. And then Paul, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, pulls down that first list of three things, sexual immorality, purity, greed, and he brings them in to verse 5. He says, look, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Paul, that's a bit strong, isn't it? Idolater, what are you talking about? How can you be using the word idolater? Well, he's saying that really we all worship somewhere. We all worship someone and we all worship something. Who are you worshiping? If you're living in that sexually immoral or impure or greedy or these other ways, then we are in fact living for ourselves and we are worshiping our own selves, living for our own glory. And we all worship someone or something. And if we're living this kind of life, then it's clear that we're living to worship ourselves, living for our own pleasure, our own satisfaction, living as somebody else God, not as God being God. Challenging words, aren't they? You know, this month, starting today, there's an enormous propaganda machine. And it's going to go into overdrive in these next few days. There's going to be marches, posters, graffiti, plays, films, radio broadcasts. And their message is about sexual relationships. It's about the idea that a sexual relationship can be had with anyone. Male, female, doesn't matter. True freedom, true rainbow light is experienced by throwing off traditional shackles. True purity is found by being true to whatever whim or desire, whoever you are, be true. It's as though we're saying, there's no God but me, and I am here to worship. It's an attractive philosophy. And it's an attractive philosophy from the new establishment. Increasingly authoritarian, this new establishment tries to suppress any other opinion, try to exclude and ostracize those who point out the hurt and the ruin that follows these choices of lifestyle. Male and female, he created them. A man shall leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They're timeless and biblical values. Perhaps even I could be in trouble with somebody for saying these things, but I would gladly be, because these are the true words of the Bible speaking to us about our sexual lives, how he loves us and he has something good for us. But it's in this precious context. The Bible is clear, and it challenges us all. It challenges us all, straight, same-sex attracted. It challenges us all to be godly and holy in our sexual relationships. It's a challenging passage, but as we begin this week, where there's going to be lots of talk about this, lots of propaganda, I think it's important that as it's come up in our passage, we just look at that together. Let's read on, because it speaks that there is an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And for those of us who are in Jesus, who are allowing him to transform our minds and change our actions, well, we have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And that is something glorious. And for that reason, we stay faithful to the teaching of the scriptures. We are prepared to live holy lives, however different that seems from the culture around us, because we are living for a different kingdom. We are living for a different context. We are looking forward and have our eyes fixed on the conquering Jesus, with whom we're going to spend eternity. There were those in the church at the time who were saying, actually, by the way, whose prevailing culture was more radical than our own around these things, who stood out even more than we do at the moment around these things. There were those who said, actually, you can just do what you like. Just tag Jesus on, a little extra. Plug him in on the end of your story. It doesn't need to transform your life. You can just carry on doing the same things. But Paul now speaks to them, and he says, look, perhaps to some of us who are saying these things, let no one deceive you, because those words are empty words. You can see that in verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, what things? Well, it's the things from that list that we were just talking about together. Because of such things, God's wrath comes. God's judgment is coming, when finally he will judge all people. That judgment is coming on those who are disobeying him. And he says, so don't be partners with them. Don't be partners with those who are living in that way, but saying they are followers of Jesus. Some of us, we might need to be very carefully thinking over these things. Are we living in this way and yet saying we are partners? Well, that's a wrong thing to be doing. Some of us, we're dropping in and visiting from all kinds of backgrounds. We're so glad that you are here. But this is addressed to those who say they are partners, who say they are following Jesus, but aren't living in this godly way. The Holy Spirit is challenging us. We're in danger if we're saying we're partners, but living in this idolatrous and lying way. This next part speaks of light. And you can see where these verses highlight that word light. You can see you are light, children of light, fruit of the light, exposed by the light, illuminated, becomes a light. This passage is speaking of light. And it says, you were once darkness. We all lived in this way at one time. And some of us We're struggling with it still, that darkness. But now you are light. Now you are light. How are you light? You can see it there in verse 8. You are light in the Lord. That is your identity. You are with Jesus. You are light in the Lord. So live as children of light, it says. And then he says, the fruit of the light, and he makes a list, consists of all goodness, of righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. He says, have nothing to do in our actions, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds. Those deeds of darkness, the fruitless deeds of darkness. But rather, expose them. What could that mean, to expose them? To say, oi, I know my mate, he's doing this, or that girl, she's doing that. That's what's the problem. It's talking about you and me before Jesus. You know, we can so easily fool ourselves and lie to ourselves. Greedy? No, I'm not greedy. But actually, perhaps greed is at the heart of our actions and our motivation. And if we have this in our hearts, well, we need to ask God to help us to throw them out, have nothing to do with these fruitless deeds, but instead expose them. Now, what he means is this. He's inviting us to bring them to Jesus. It's not talking about gossip, because the next verse says in verse 12, it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. It's not talking about gossiping, oh, I know he does that. It's talking instead about bringing our hearts in their wrongness before Jesus. Because at the end of this passage, it says in verse 13, everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Now that is terrifying. I don't want anyone to know. But everything that is illuminated becomes a light. I think that is speaking about how, well, we're invited to come in repentance, to come in repentance to God, to bring these areas of our lives to him and say, look, I'm sorry for the wrong things. I've been hiding it in the depths of my heart. Here it is. It's visible now in the light. Please, by your light, bring forgiveness and cleansing and renewal and transformation by your power. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Everything illuminated becomes a light. And so there's this beautiful piece of poetry. This is why it is said, and perhaps this was one of the songs they used to sing in Ephesus. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is a call to repentance, a call to a change of life, to a change of heart. Look, I have this greed in the depths of my heart, and I see it now, and I want to bring it out so it's visible. I confess it to you, Father. I repent from this. Please forgive me, because Jesus has died and risen again. He can bring transformation. He can bring forgiveness to me. I decide I'm going to live a different kind of life now. It's a call to repentance, that wrongness would be exposed by the light, and that it would become light as we receive forgiveness. The drawing, the picture, is of one sleeping, but of course in the second line of that song, if it is a song, we find they're not sleeping, they're dead. And that's who we are without Jesus. But he's calling us to rise. He's calling us to come in repentance. And then as we come in repentance, Jesus, his cleansing, liberating light shines on us. Everything exposed by the light is visible. Everything illuminated becomes a light. Perhaps this morning there are things where the Holy Spirit is just prompting you, just saying, what about this? What about that? And I realize I've been living a two-faced life. I say I'm a partner. I say I'm walking with Jesus, but actually, look at it. It's all broken and ruined. And God is saying, I invite you to come in repentance, receive my forgiveness, receive my power for a transformed life. The last part of the passage is verses 15 to 20. And we call this filled and singing. And we take this from the verse partway through verse 18, where it says, be filled with the Spirit. And then how it goes on to speak about singing. So verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. That's how we're called to live, as those who are wise, living in the fear of the Lord. Make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days, the prevailing voice, the propaganda, is evil, is against God. And some of us have been drawn into this. Some of us are struggling with this. Perhaps we don't know Jesus yet. And you're thinking, well, nothing can change. Well, the message of this morning is that by Jesus' power, by being exposed to his light, everything can be changed. Verse 17, don't be foolish. Instead of being foolish, understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what God wants from your life. It says very clearly in verse 18, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That's talking about leads to uncontrolledness and things going crazy and things where you don't know what you're doing anymore. So don't get drunk on wine, because everything breaks up. Everything goes wrong when you're getting drunk. And of course, we would say, well, I don't have the power not to be drunk. But this message is saying God can change your heart and change your mind and then give you the power to be free. I've got a dear friend who was for years a heroin addict. And everyone said to him, you're going to die a heroin addict. All the mates, they'd all sit around and go, you're going to die. We're all going to die a heroin addict. It was an in-joke among them. And then one of them, well, he met Jesus. And a power came that he hadn't had before. He'd seen some of his mates die. He'd seen others of his mates try to go through rehab but never make it. And now he had a new power, because somebody prayed for him, because he opened his heart to Jesus. And you might be saying, look, this, I can't change. Well, the power of God himself comes on the one who calls out to him, the one who trusts in Jesus' name, experiences rescue and an empowering and a filling by his Spirit to live different. That's why it says, don't get drunk. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Have his power. Have his liberation. And as you live like this, well, you're going to be speaking different. You're not going to be having the coarse joking or the foolish stuff anymore. Instead, as we speak, you're speaking, well, musically is the language. You can see it and there in verse 19. But this music, this new sound comes from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. What a beautiful idea. We're not any longer resonating with the rhythm of a broken world. Instead, the Holy Spirit fills us and lifts our head and inspires us to sing a new song, a song empowered by the Spirit of God. And our hearts resonate with that new song, giving thanks in verse 20, giving thanks to God the Father. Imagine calling God, the creator of heaven and earth, the sovereign God, your Father. Well, that is beautiful. And that is what you're invited to do through the person of Jesus. Well, we've read through this passage a couple of times together. You might want to read through it again this afternoon in the sunshine. But it's speaking to us about idols and lies. Get rid of those idols. We're called to worship the one true God. the God of heaven and earth, the one who came in the person of Jesus to rescue us. We want to worship him. We're called to a life of light and real life. A life of light and real life. It doesn't come by our power, but only by the power of the Spirit of God who wants to fill us and inspire us to sing. Now, let's be quiet for a moment as we reflect on these things, and then we're going to sing together. But I'm going to pray in a moment before we sing this final song. But let's be quiet as we reflect on these things. Father, as we've shared this morning, we've heard your voice. Some of us call ourselves Christians, call ourselves even partners in the church, and yet we have these things in our lives. In fact, all of us, as we read this passage, we become convicted of our sinfulness and our wrongness, our distance from you, the Holy God. And all of us want to come to you this morning and pray that you would change us, Lord, that you would give us a new heart, that you would renew our minds, that our actions would be different because of that intervention of yours. We pray we wouldn't worship false idols, but that we would worship you, the true living God. We hear your voice as you invite us to expose to the light these areas of rebellion against you. And we want to bring them to you this morning in their ugliness and rebellion and say, God, here they are. I'm sorry for the way that I've been living. Please, by your light, change me to be light. Purify our hearts. You want to fill us by your Holy Spirit as we submit ourselves completely to you. Live for your glory and your glory alone. Lord, fill us by your Spirit and release us into a life of singing and celebration as our hearts resonate with that song of heaven as we worship the Lord Jesus together. Perhaps this morning, one of us is sitting here saying, I've never met Jesus. I don't know who he is. But this morning I'm hearing about a God who can change hearts and change minds and change actions. And this morning perhaps we're crying out and saying, God, I'm sorry for the way I've been pushing you out of my life all my life. Please forgive me. Please be my king. Thank you for the life of freedom and light and liberation you want to bring. Not because I'm pushing into it, but because you lift me up by your kindness and seat me with Jesus and fill me with your Spirit. Please transform my life by the power of Jesus. We worship you. Amen.